We are shows what you know. We'll always watch TV. And if you think we can't, we'll watch more and you'll see. That's why the people of the web believe in Jim from Las Vegas and Jacob from Sweden.
Hello and welcome to Shows What You Know, your television podcast. We're now flying this many miles above the ocean on the pilot show. My name is Jacob Burrows.
I am Jim Scampoli. I am your co-pilot here on this pilot show.
Sorry, I was just hoping you would do that. And I was like, it's like we planned it. But then I screamed yes and ruined it for everyone. But yes, we're your. I'm also a co-pilot. I'm not going to claim the main pilot chair here. We're both co-pilots on this pilot cast through the heavens as we discuss these three new Amazon pilots that have come out. Quick note on spoilers. You can't spoil the pilot episode. If you want to go in completely clean, then don't listen to this until after you've watched them. I like to go into things completely clean. So I didn't know anything about any of these pilots. I just watched them and let the pilot tell me what the show was going to be about. But in this podcast, we're going to tell you what the show's about.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's going to be quote-unquote spoilers through the whole thing. No spoiler warning anywhere, right? That makes sense, right?
No, it makes sense. I mean, we're talking, the pilot's basically a first episode of a show. So it's kind of this what you'd see in a synopsis or a trailer or something. So, I mean, maybe, I guess some first episodes of shows have like a twist at the end. I don't really think any of these do. But yeah, I don't think even the most stringent of spoiler phobes, I don't think you'll really lose much by listening to this. But yes, you go watch it first if you're anal about it.
Yep. So which three shows are we talking about this time?
We're talking about The Tick, we are talking about I Love Dick, and we're talking about Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
That's right. And these are all Amazon shows. Explain this to me. We do not have Amazon in our country. They have it in Germany, and they have it in the UK. In Sweden, we have like a good site if you want to order books. Do we have a good site if you want to order anything you can think of in the world? No, we don't, Jim. And I'm upset about it, because every time I want to buy something, I look up on one of these price comparison sites, and it's like, well, it'll probably be just about as expensive if you order through Amazon, because you have to order it from Germany, but otherwise it would have been way cheaper. So I'm kind of laying down an ultimatum here. No more IKEA for you until we get Amazon.
Now, this is literally what I'm doing right now. I have my hands on the top of my head in confusion. This is actually a thing you don't have. You don't even have, like, book Amazon?
No, it's a different website. We have other sites that sell things. I know it's hard to comprehend. I know Amazon has a monopoly on everything in your world, but no, there's no Amazon. There's no Amazon.se.
Side note then, I should point out that on my other show, sometimes we do giveaways and we give away Amazon. I just assumed Amazon was everywhere. That's why I was giving away Amazon gift cards.
Yep.
I need to fix that for people that don't have Amazon. But no, seriously. Amazon, dude, because I even have what not all locations in America have. I have a thing called Prime Now.
Yeah, I've heard all about it on your show. Sounds great.
And yeah, I'll just be like, oh, I need something. And then just click on the Prime Now. And then within like an hour and a half, someone just delivers it to my door.
Yeah, I did mention this to our friend Mike Steele when he was talking about, oh, these giveaways. Why aren't people doing it? And I'm like, hey, maybe everyone can't do the fucking gift card, you know?
All right. We'll have to bring up some sort of caveat to that for people that don't have Amazon.
Well, we are an in-between country, which means we can order it and get it delivered here. But, of course, half the gift card would be for the delivery. But whatever. I mean, yeah, it's weird because I looked it up because I was thinking about Amazon because we're doing these Amazon, you know, pilots. And I sort of looked it up and it's like the guy who invented it, like, oh, he's the third richest guy in the world. And I'm like, we don't even have it here, so it's hard for me to comprehend. And also, I know I sound like I'm from the 1800s when I say this, but it's all ones and zeros. You realize it's all an illusion, and yet all this money, how does this even make sense?
Yes. And I mean, just picture this. I mean, you have Netflix, right?
I mean, I personally don't have Netflix. There is Netflix. It's more expensive here. That's why I refuse to get it, because it's, what is it, $10 for you?
Yeah. I think I have the 4K, so it's like $12. I have 4K Netflix.
Right. Well, it's more than $12 for the standard one here, so fuck it.
Well, picture this. So there's Netflix, which offers you, you know, TV and movies, but then it also offers you everything else that you want.
Yes, I know. And it's like often, like, I don't know, anytime I need anything, there's always an Amazon link popping up when I search for how to get it. And that's usually the only place it pops up, like a specific thing. This is why I don't own things. Maybe this is good. I'm not as consumeristic and capitalistic because I can't be.
Yeah, you're Elliot from Mr. Robot.
Exactly.
Or Tyler Durden from Fight Club. Same shit. Zing!
Yep. And I hate Facebook. So I'm even more like that. But yeah, so they had, not only do, obviously, if there's that much money, they can afford to make some shows. To me, it seems ridiculous that, it kind of seems ridiculous even that Netflix can make The Get Down, but that Amazon, that sells books and also everything else, can make these shows and it's like nothing to them seems so ridiculous. But that's only because they don't, like, if it was McDonald's, it would make sense, only because that's here. They don't have Amazon here. I guess that's why it doesn't make sense. But anyway, yeah, they're making TV shows. Right?
Yes, and they've done this a few times. I've watched one other pilot. I think they did this like two or three other times where they'll make a few shows. And I mean, this is what networks do. They make pilots, except, you know, they'll show it to what, industry or networks or what have you, and then decide what to go with. Amazon does a pilot season. They let their subscribers check out the shows, and they kind of, I'm sure they're not going solely on what people vote and review, but they take it into account on what they're going to go to series with. The one I watched previously, I believe it's a remake of a UK show. It was Mad Dogs. And then it was weird because I loved the pilot. But the problem with this is you watch the pilot, and then even once it goes to series, you're not going to see the show for like at least a year. So then when the show came out, I forgot all about it and then didn't watch it for like another year past that. Yeah. It was great, by the way. I've heard it's very similar to the original, but hey, watch the American one. It's got Michael Imperioli on it.
Mm-hmm. I watched a pilot for Amazon, not knowing it was a pilot. And then the next week I was like, where's the next episode?
Was it Man in the High Castle or?
Nah, it was, I mean, it was the Cosmopolitans, so I wasn't that upset. It was about American people living in France, so makes sense that they didn't make any more, I guess. But I was a bit confused about it, and that's how I discovered the whole concept of Amazon pilots. But hey, yeah, they say they're going off what the audience thinks and so on, but today, in this place, you and I are the executives, and we decide what gets greenlit.
Yes. It does, and I guess part of what would prompt them to able to do this, because when I'm looking at their IMDb, and it's all Amazon pilot season powered by Geico, which is an insurance company. So I guess they just take some of that sweet, sweet cash and put it back into their entertainment.
Yeah, why not? So I figure we have both ranked these, even if we haven't done it consciously. Well, I've done it consciously. Even if you haven't, I'm sure you know the order you place these shows in, and which is number three, which is number two, and which is number one, and number one is getting greenlit.
Okay.
And I think we should simply start with number three, and if we have different number threes, we're going to have to fight.
Okay.
I can only imagine that's the only reasonable way to do this.
Okay.
Unless you have
any
other...
Are we just going to count down? Are we going to go 3, 2, 1, and then we'll say what our number three is at the same time?
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. All right.
Okay. Well, I feel like I might have to qualify my choice, but let's just give it a go. Who wants to count
down?
Well,
do you want to qualify? How do you need to qualify? Are you doing it? Because you can either do it like, which do you think will like get more people to watch it? Are you thinking as an executive?
Well, I'm thinking personally. Personally, what I'm more interested in is what I'm going by.
Absolutely, let's do that, and then we can go into our executive characters with the cigar and the whiskey, and rah, 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 and we can decide which should actually be greenlit.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll count it down.
And we're going to say our least one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, 3, 2, 1.
The Tick.
I Love Dick. Oh, my God. It's on.
All right. Now, but weirdly enough, it's because I almost was going to say that one.
Yeah.
And I have to qualify my choice here. I think I can't trust my own choices, because part of it is I Love Dick, I believe, is getting the lowest ratings already. And so I'm kind of like, come on, little show. Come on, little show. And The Tick, it also could be because I'm very familiar with The Tick. The creator of The Tick grew up like a couple towns over. I mean, he's older than me. But he's from my home base. He's from Massachusetts. Yeah. His comic was put out by my local comic shop initially. And I loved the cartoon. I never watched the other live action show. And then this one didn't. Part of it's not The Tick's fault. Part of it's just the superhero in general.
Yeah. Let's talk about The Tick first then.
Okay.
Just in general. Because I, like, halfway through the episode was when I was like, wait a minute. Isn't this a thing? And I kind of had to Google it, and it's like, yeah, oh yeah, okay. I recognize this guy. Now he's not from my hometown. I don't know, like, I don't have that much context on it. And I really had to rack my brain and look it up. Like, yeah, I've seen him. Have I watched the cartoon? I can't really remember. I was pretty young when that was coming out, so I don't really know how much of that I definitely didn't have enough where it affected my judgment of the show. Anyway,
sure, yeah.
And the show in general, I do not blame you for placing it in third place, because it was kind of meh through a lot of it. Why did you place it in third place?
Yeah, and part of it's that, and part of it because maybe I did want it to. I wanted it to be better than meh. Although yes, I'm familiar with the property, but I completely forgot that he had. I forgot about his sidekick. So when they're like following this other, when they're following Arthur, I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, wait, no, Arthur was always there. I just remembered it wrong. Or if I was really staunch in my beliefs, I could say that it was the Mandela effect, and that I remembered it right. It was just some sort of time thing that happened, and everyone else remembered it wrong. I don't know if mm-hmm. you're familiar with the Mandela effect.
I am.
But yeah, and Ben Endlin, I love Ben Endlin. He's the creator. He's the writer. And he's wrote one of my favorite hours of TV ever, which is Smile Time, the episode of Angel, when Angel turns into a puppet.
Right.
And he's wrote some of the best Supernatural episodes. He usually writes the comedic, funny ones. But
sure.
And
also on Gotham, so.
Oh, yeah. I did. I was just looking at his thing. Also, a lot of things I don't like. He wrote, yeah. I guess he's a producer and writer on Powers, which I only watched the first episode of. He wrote for Gotham.
Like everyone else. Yep.
Revolution, which I vaguely remember, but it's hard to judge a comedy pilot, because we're going to get into it with the they're all comedic, and we're going to get into it with the other pilots as well, because I guess you do have to keep it broad, but then I don't really like broad. Well, I do and I don't like broad comedy. And
well, it's like if none of these were really broad comedies, like it's almost like they're not really comedies, any of these three, because they're sort of balancing on that edge. And yeah, in a way it's broad, but it's like, it's not a, none of these shows are primarily funny shows. Maybe that's an overstatement, but they're not sitcoms, you know?
True.
But
they're high concept. They're basically high concept comedies.
For sure. But so what did you mean about it being broad? Because I can see that too in this.
I don't have specific notes on this one. I watched it on a plane. But just there were definitely were jokes, or at least attempts at humor, that just didn't hit for me. And they're playing up this thing, at least what I picked up. They're playing up like, does the Tick exist?
I felt like they resolved that like when he shows up again.
Yeah, I feel like they did too. But then it's still weird. I don't know. It's weird
because he is like the voiceover of the show, which makes you feel like he's inside Arthur's head or something.
Well, because they do that strange thing. They do a flashback to when Arthur was a kid, and it's the Tick talking to him, like his nightlight or whatever. Because didn't they have a thing?
Yeah.
And when the tick shows up again and like kicks everyone's ass, they show a shot of Arthur opening his eyes like when he's in bed. So, I mean, it would be a stretch. It'd be, I do think the tick exists, but there's enough deniability, I feel, in this pilot that if they tried to, throw a hammer into the gears or something, they could try to say, like, well, no, this is actually what went down. I don't think they will, but I felt it was weirdly vague.
Yeah, or a wrench.
Yeah, but wrench,
I think that's a product of the script being in conflict with the direction. I think those things like the nightlight and whatever is supposed to be like part of a Get Down-ish, messy, remixy, like talking to the audience, like being its own thing, its own style. And that doesn't really work. And I think that's the main problem of the show, that the tone is all over the place, or rather there's a dark tone that's really fighting against some lighthearted, kind of dark jokes, but the lines are not, like, it doesn't really work tonally. The director is the cinematographer from the Dark Knight movies and from Inception, and I don't want to lay it on him that he's never directed before, but he's doing what he does best, which is not what's best for this show, I feel, because it really lingers in this sort of... You don't really know what the tone of the show is. It's sort of dark, but then it's, like, funny, and not in a Deadpool-ish way. It's very... almost trying to be Deadpool, kind of, but it's not, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely a send-up. I mean, it's good timing to do a send-up of superheroes, but it's also bad timing because it still feels like, another superhero thing, even though it's playing off of that. And one thing that bugged me, and this is kind of like whatever, but I didn't really like the suit. I didn't like the tick suit in this. Kind of liked, even though I didn't really watch it, but the like Fox show that they had years ago, live action, I kind of thought that suit was better, which is weird.
Wasn't that, I don't really know, but was that kind of more plastic and fake looking, the old one, or because the new, what didn't you like about the new one? Realistic in a way.
Yeah, I guess that could be it. It just looked weird to me. I can't really put my finger on it. It just looks strange. Like an early, like some sort of early version of something they're making.
Yes. So
I mean, I think the potential's there, though, because I do love, like, what you're saying, it's all true, where the tone is all over the place, but I love when things do that, but yeah, you have to have a very, like, skilled hand doing it to balance it, and there are a lot of shows where if you only watch the pilot, you'd probably be like, Preacher or something like that, you'd be like, what the fuck, this sucks, and it could be suffering from that. But yeah, I don't think it doesn't nail it. I don't think it nails it. I do like seeing speaking of Preacher, Jackie Earle Haley plays the Terror. I do like him. I like seeing him pop up. I do like the guy that plays the Tick, Peter Serafinowicz or whatever his name is. I mostly know him as the voice of Darth Maul and, the guy in Spaced and Shaun of the Dead, but I still love him.
Wait, who is he in Spaced and Shaun of the Dead? Is he?
He's their roommate, Pete. Pete.
Oh, really?
Pete. Oi, prick.
Right. Okay.
It's like, it's 4 a.m. It's Saturday. No, it's not. It's fucking Sunday.
When you said roommate, I was thinking of Spaced. So I was thinking of the painter.
In Spaced, he's the I think the new boyfriend. I think he's the one that takes his old and they have the paintball episode. Oh man, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, watch Spaced.
Yes, absolutely. So this is with the voice. Yes, watch Spaced rather than the Tick, because I agree with everything you said. The only thing that is like turned me around was like the last 10 minutes when Arthur and the Tick were interacting in his house
or
in his apartment.
Yeah,
that's the part that I felt like, oh yeah, I got the feeling what this show would be. Because that's what I liked, and that's when I got that feeling. Because otherwise, I like the terror showing up, but when he sort of walks over and steals his ice cream, and they're like, "Ha!" I didn't know what I was supposed to. I don't know. There were a few funny moments, like when he's in jail and we get that flashback, and then we go back to jail, and they're like, "You poor broken man."
Yeah.
For some reason, that was really funny to me. That. I don't know, his dad died, but it seemed like they were cared more about the ice cream or like the picture or whatever, and then he could go. But yeah, overall, the last 10 minutes, we get the Tick and Arthur interacting, and the Tick, like, he's acting ridiculous before, but I didn't really get what was going on when he first showed up. I didn't have anything to latch onto. So when he's back and we already have a grip on what's happening, I just like that more, and they could talk some, and he could be ridiculous, and Arthur could be like, "What are you doing? Stop doing this." He's a straight man. It worked for me, so that's why it wasn't my number three, but it was your number three.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like I just wanted to root for I Love Dick a little bit more, because people were... I think it's I think you're right in picking it as the third one, but it's also the obvious number three, and I guess I feel bad, and I'm like, "Ah, come on, I Love Dick, you can do it."
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess is there anything else on the Tick?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So let's get into I Love Dick, because that would be my second one. So I think we all agree the most potential's for Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yes, I know. We didn't really get this tension I wanted. I mean, we could count down and I could go the Tick and you could go I Love Dick.
Yeah.
But yeah, clearly this is what's happening right now. So I Love Dick. Do you have the synopses pulled up? Because
Let me pull it up.
It doesn't... I mean, yeah, okay. I Love Dick. As I said, I went in blind to all of these. So at the start, I almost thought this was going to be like a period piece, because we start in an apartment and we see like rolls of film in the background. And there's this woman shows up to rent the flat for a while, and she looks like she's from the 70s. So I thought maybe it was... going to be a period piece, but it's not. Is there a synopsis for this?
Let me read Amazon's first. Adapted from the Lottest feminist novel, I Love Dick is set in a colorful academic community in Marfa, Texas. It tells the story of a struggling married couple, Chris and Sylvia, and their obsession with a charismatic professor named Dick. Yeah. Because IMDb, I didn't realize it was both the couple, because the IMDb says a married couple's relationship is put to the test when they both fall for the same professor. I didn't realize the husband was as involved in the falling for Dick as the woman was.
Well,
because it doesn't really that's not really in the pilot that I saw.
Well, he could fall for him, and like it's going to be weird. It's going to be about relationships. It's going to be he's already enamored with Dick because he's so incredibly charismatic. Oh my God. So we'll see. I mean, look, I hated this. I hated the show.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. I just said it twice, but I didn't really hate it, but I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy watching it. Okay. Not a single second.
All right, here the first 10 minutes, yeah, I'm you. I hated it. Or maybe even the first half, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not hated it, but I was just kind of like, "All right, what is this?" But it kind of won me over by the end, and I think that's why I like had sympathy and I was rooting for, you know, this little engine that could, because because it doesn't have the flashy elements of the other two shows. It doesn't have the action and the like meta commentary and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's just a show. The other ones are like, "Look at me, I'm a show."
And I think what I like about it, I do enjoy when intellectual elites, you kind of poke fun at yourself a bit and realize how like kind of dumb and ridiculous you are. And I guess I like the angle of a feminist woman who wants to be strong and independent, but at the same time realizes like she just wants a hunky dude. Like she's still in the end, she's still just even though she doesn't want to be, she is attracted to just a hunky dude in his jeans and in his cool hair and just him like obviously negging her, and it's completely working. Like basically the dinner scene I really liked, and that kind of hooked me a bit more than everything else. I do like Catherine Hahn, who plays Chris, I guess. I don't remember their names.
Yeah,
but
she's good.
I do like Catherine Hahn, but yeah, she's very grating in the beginning when she's just like, fucking fuck, just yelling and being annoying. So I was like, ugh, what is this? I do like the device of like the letters like the and the way they pop up on screen and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be very sad if this didn't go to series as well. But I did really like, I liked the dinner scene, and then it does end in a, I guess I could see how both the married couples falling for the professor, because it ends in a nice fuck scene, because she reads her letter to Dick about how she wanted Dick to come in the bathroom and fuck her and be the man that she desperately needs. So her intellectual professor husband finally gets it up and is able to fuck his wife.
I mean, yeah, that dinner scene made me feel so uncomfortable, and I'm completely open to the possibility that this is some patriarchal part of me that's like, I'm identifying with the woman, so I'm being put in the place of being negged by this hot hunky dude and so on, because that's the character we're rooting for.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, it's just, it made me feel so uncomfortable. I see now why shows are about young, attractive people, because that gives you anxiety in one way, because that's like, I'm not young and attractive like these people. But when it's about a woman straddling 40 who's really, really trapped in her marriage, and she becomes obsessed with another man who's not her husband, that makes me feel trapped in another way. Mm-hmm. It gives me that anxiety, plus making me feel awkward and stressed out of like, oh my God, I can't ever marry anyone because this is going to happen. And I realize, you know, we shouldn't only have Hunger Games. That shouldn't be the only story about young people fighting monsters or whatever. Like, you know, 40 straddling 40 people want to see themselves in shows too. I'm going to be there one day, but this show still feels like made me kind of just uncomfortable, and the awkwardness was not, like, sometimes I could see where it should be funny, but I had to pause it because it was awkward. In the dinner scene, I love the dinner scene,
but what I get everything you're saying, and I think you're right, but also I like, because she's not, she is this, I would argue she's not completely trapped in the marriage. I didn't really get that. But I like, because, she is kind of in, maybe she'd like to be in a better situation. But they weren't afraid to make her a shitty person as well. Because most leading up to that, it's showing how she feels like the world owes her stuff. She wants to put the music in her short film and go to Venice. And she's mad that they, you know, that the people that own the rights to the music want money. She's ignoring cease and desist letters. She's, you know, shitting on this small town, but then this small town dude that can just like ride up on a horse and wear his cowboy boots and like call her on her shit. Like, that's what she needs. That's what she's yearning for. That's what's making her, that's what's making her, her thighs wet.
Yeah, I know. But I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know it. I don't want to see it. I'm done. I'm fine with not knowing. That's fine. She may need that. I mean, in a way, it is like she's a shitty person, but I'm definitely on her side. But then it's just her becoming obsessed with this guy. I mean, maybe, as I said, patriarchy, if it was a hot chick, you know, how many shows haven't I watched about some dude who's obsessed with some hot chick?
Yeah.
I never complained before.
True.
Why am I complaining now just because they're 40 years old? Well, maybe it's because I'm not attracted to Kevin Bacon. I can't really see it.
Well, and then Kevin Bacon's got to be older now, too. He's in, like, his 50s.
Yeah.
So it ain't like she's trying. It ain't like it's some. I would be more uncomfortable if it was some woman straddling her 40s. But then, like, she is obsessed with this 20-year-old who's kind of like, yeah, whatever, old lady. Like, for some reason, that would make me more uncomfortable. But no, I totally see what you're saying, but like, I was eating it up, and I like that it ended on kind of, you know, doesn't Dick walk by which can be assumed as his lost love's grave or something like that. So it's kind of like, hey, there's more to Dick than meets the eye.
I'm not sure about that. I feel like there isn't, I feel like I can't see this fascination, and maybe that's having like a huge impact.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's true. 'Cause you have to buy into her obsession.
There's just something about shows that make you feel trapped, because it's not only that she's trapped in this marriage, it's also like this town that's a dead end town, and then it's like, oh, the one glimpse of light is this guy who, but if for me, I can't really see the what's so great about him, I guess, and he's being a dick to her, and yeah, she wants that. It's hard for me to root for someone who's like, oh, I'm so attracted to this guy who's being awful to me.
Yeah.
Like, how am I, what am I supposed to root for you to get the guy, not get the guy? And it starts with her saying, like, I'm going to go to Venice, you know, right afterwards. And immediately we know she's not going to Venice.
Yeah.
She's going to be stuck. I thought maybe this show would be about, like, a cult or some swingers thing. I'm still not ruling any of that out.
Yeah.
It still has that feeling.
It's weird because I don't see, I guess the biggest thing that I saw differently, I didn't see it as, I don't see her trapped.
Yeah.
Because I don't see her trapped in her marriage either. Although I guess they do hint that, like, they show her husband potentially like talking up a young girl.
Yeah.
I mean, and just reading from the pilot, I mean, I assume that it's like the cliche. She was one of, like, she's done this before with her husband. You know what I mean? Like, she was his student and now they're married. But I don't know. I guess I didn't see it as she's trapped and even still, like, she makes the choice because has this obsession with Dick, but she makes the choice that she's going to stay. And part of it is because she's obsessed with him and wants him. But part of it is because she wants to, like, you know, I think the feminist side of her, she wants to challenge him on, you know, him being the best and him being this great professor. Like, she's like, oh, I'll do your course. And like, she's going to show him up or something like that.
Yeah. And maybe grow as a person, and yeah, I'm sure that will be great. But
I didn't mean to cut you off, but what does Dick say? Something like, I haven't read a book in 10 years. I'm post
post idea. I hate that. Fuck that.
But I saw that more as them goofing on, like, they're goofing on intellectuals, not just that particular guy, because they were goofing on what their characters were as well. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's something brewing with the Holocaust. And I that's funny, but it's also, like, I can't see the attraction to Dick when he's post-idea, you
but
know?
I think it's such a dumb thing, but that makes me laugh. I'm post-idea.
Yeah, I think I sound more negative than I was, because there was some things that were some things that made me laugh, like that. But yeah, maybe trapped is the wrong word. Maybe it's that she feels like she's wasted the last 20 years of her life,
sure,
or something like that.
Yep.
And that makes me feel uncomfortable because I'm afraid of wasting my life, as we all are.
Yeah, very true.
Maybe it's unfair to put this at 3 because maybe I think this has, in a way, more potential to be a great show. I don't know about The Tick. The Tick could be an average show to a funny show, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way The Tick is going to be a groundbreaking show.
Yeah,
this one could do really interesting things. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So,
and I completely get it. Like, when I glanced over the ratings, I think it's losing by the most as far as ratings-wise, depending on how much they take that into account. I don't know. I guess, does that about do it for I Love Dick?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's still prickling at the back of my mind. I Love Dick, but I don't know. I think maybe it's like you said. I can't remember, but something about, okay. So, like, the letters, I like that too. But that's as pretentious as anything they're making fun of, like showing the letters on the screen and so on.
It is. I know it's, well, I'm sorry. Finish first.
No, I was okay. Rambling. It's like it's. I know it's based on some great feminist work, apparently. Maybe I would feel differently if I'd read that. I just don't know right now, and I'm not on board.
Well, I could be giving them more credit than deserved, but I see that as another goof. But that could just be me filling in blanks. I mean, I guess it definitely is, but I see that more as just kind of another part of the goof. It's like, I don't think they're taking it that seriously.
Okay. No, that makes sense too, because it's very clear that it's like this is it's listed as comedy, and it is a comedy, and there are moments that are built as comedy. They just most often didn't work for me that well.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, I had to pause during the original The Office as well because it was awkward, but that's one of my favorite shows. Uh-huh. So, and I don't think I felt that way immediately. I think it had to grow on me.
Sure.
So I don't really know. Maybe it'll be, I don't know. It's not my number three. It's staying there. The Tick's number two. Let's move on to number one.
Okay. So yeah, Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yes.
Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle.
Yes.
A famous action hero, martial arts star, comes out of retirement to assume an alter ego as an undercover private contractor named Jean-Claude Van, Jean-Claude Johnson, it just says, so whatever.
Okay. Well, this one, I knew it was going to be my number one after a minute, because after a minute, I immediately liked the tone more. There was something about both the other ones that was, I don't know, it didn't feel completely right. It didn't feel like it knew exactly what it was. And this one just immediately had a specific tone that they were going for. And, you know, while I liked the Tick at the end, it didn't really catch me at the start like this show immediately did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my thing is, it is my number one, and it is the one I do want to see go to series most. But I probably, because I was already familiar with, I didn't watch a trailer or anything, but I was familiar with the idea before the pilot. So I was a little bit let down just by the pilot, but that's unfair just because it's just one episode. Mostly some of the humor I wish was a little better, but there was still a lot that I liked.
Yeah, it's as usual, I didn't know anything about it. So imagine going into this show and not knowing anything, because it really is. Yeah, I mean, as you described, Jean-Claude is this old actor, and that's where we kind of start, and then he decides to go back to work, except his work is not just acting, it's also he's a secret agent doing black ops, and the acting is just his cover. And it's as absurd as it sounds. It's just got that thing when it has a scene where he goes to a restaurant, or he thinks it's a restaurant, but it's actually a pop-up experience.
That was great. That was good.
That was, he gets dry noodles, and he's like, can I get water? And he's like, we don't actually have water. So that's the kind of thing you sort of saw in I Love Dick as well, almost. Yeah. But they just hit it way better on this one for me.
Yes. And I know I'm being nitpicky, but in the same vein of how much I love that type of humor, I also get a little weary on like LA being like, look at us, look at LA. Can you believe
isn't it
LA?
Crazy?
Like
we have a restaurant that's you eat out of a toilet. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're doing it. You're the ones who are doing this.
And it was mostly like, I like the joke about like with the director and how the director's over the top, but I feel like they could have reeled it in a little bit. I mean, cause there's like a gag about like, oh, I saw the commercial that you made. So like really happy to work with you. Like that's a funny gag. But then the guy was kind of a little too, like as far as like what he was wearing and how he was acting. And then some, the remake jokes I liked, but then it was also like a little too far, on some of them, but I can forgive all that. Cause I understand it's a pilot and you know, they're trying to get everyone on board. So I understand what they're doing. My favorite joke was, Jean-Claude Van Damme, or Van Johnson, he's wearing a disguise to sneak into this factory or whatever, and everyone's like, hey, Philip, how's it going, Philip? And then he runs into Philip, and the guy looks exactly like him, and he tries to, what is he? He tries to convince him that he's from the future.
Yeah, I'm you from the future. Yeah. And then he touches his arm and is like, hey, it's going to be fine. He's like, no, but in Time Cop, like matter can't occupy like space or whatever. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, but in Looper, it's like this. And he's like, but if you're me from the future, do you really think Looper is better than Time Cop?
Yeah.
And so he has this guy tell him that, no, Time Cop's better. And I love, was your favorite, I mean, the best part of that is when he sort of ninjas him and gets him, and then he's like, you have excellent taste in movies.
Yes.
And then he breaks his neck afterwards, because you think he's gonna knock him out, but he just breaks his neck.
Yeah That was all great. I really like that.
And if I can step back for a moment, just to the ramen, it's not to keep going on about the LA making fun of itself, but I think a lot of shows would just make that as a joke. Like, they'd have Zach Braff there, like, oh, we don't have this because this is this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a restaurant, it's an experience. But here it's also like he's supposed to be a relic, and this is sort of underlining it, and they are using it to, like, it makes sense for describing who he is. He's from the 80s, he's out of his time.
Yep.
He doesn't belong anymore. He doesn't understand. What do you mean it's an experience? So I think it has, like, some things work on several layers like that. But as you said about the director and some stuff, it doesn't all work as great as it could. And I feel like Jean-Claude, some reviewers said that he's the weakest part of it because he's just delivering everything completely flat. In a way, he should be delivering it flat,
yeah.
But maybe he could be making it more funny as well by, you know, acting a bit more.
Yeah, that's interesting because I didn't get that. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't argue it either. Like, now, once someone points it out. I mean, and part of it is because this was already done in a way with the JCVD movie. Have you seen that movie?
No, what's that?
There's a movie, because this is why I judge a little bit harshly, because there's two things that this already just, like, rips from. There's Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Have you seen that movie?
Nope.
Okay, well, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind is, it's got, what's his face? Sam Rockwell's in it, and he plays Chuck Barris, who was it's based on his book, Chuck Barris's book. And Chuck Barris was the host of the dating game. And he like created a lot of game shows back in the 50s or 60s. But what Chuck Barris actually says in his memoir is that he was secretly an operative for the CIA, and he was a hitman, and he used his game show hosting as a cover to kill people overseas and stuff. So
how true is that?
I mean, it's probably not true. I did read the book. It's a good book. It's a great movie. George Clooney directed it, and Sam Rockwell's in it. I would highly recommend it. And so it borrows a lot from that. And then there's a movie, JCVD, with Jean-Claude Van Damme, where he plays himself. He plays, like, kind of a washed up, himself. And he ends up getting involved in a bank robbery and taken hostage.
Okay.
And he starts,
he's a badass.
No, he's just kind of a regular dude. He starts reflecting on his life and his choices. Oh. I think it might, I forget where it goes. It might build to that badass moment, but it's just him. He's himself trying to win custody of his daughter, going through a bad divorce. And then he ends up he goes to the bank and he gets caught up, taken hostage during a bank robbery. It's very good. He has a great monologue in it where he's talking to the camera and it, like, breaks the fourth wall, and it even, like, the camera, like, he rises up where you could see the stage lights and everything, and he just starts talking about his life. So I already knew these other properties, so I probably judge this a little harsher because of that, because it's like, oh, this has kind of been done and now they're doing it again.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a great concept, and I do want to see more. I do want it to go to show, but I definitely recommend checking out those two movies.
It does feel like this is an idea that could probably be a movie and that would be enough.
Because
in a way, even though it's my number one, it's, like, hard to see how there could be five seasons of this.
Yeah, that's
true.
Because the big thing that actually brought my attention to it is Max Landis, because they have a little shout out to him. He tweeted the picture because the whole idea is that Max Landis wrote a remake of an action remake of Huck Finn, or Tom and Huck Finn.
Right.
And that reveal is still pretty good when he's with the girl and he's like, I love you, Huck Finn. I love you, Tom Sawyer.
I thought that was, to me, that was, like, pitch perfect, the gender bent Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, I agree.
And then it devolves into a fight scene against his pop, and then there's N-word Jim and the whole, I don't know, just that sequence really worked for me.
Yeah.
And just speaking of, like, all the things you've seen and so on, I think it's really interesting how context definitely changes everything. Because, you know, there's 100 fantasy books like Harry Potter, whichever one you read when you're 10 years old, you're going to be amazed by it. But they're all the same.
Yeah.
They're all doing the same thing. And with this, it's like, in a sense, I don't have the right intertextual level because I've seen one or two movies with Jean-Claude Van Damme, but I don't have that like backbone of knowing who he is and what he does to make this even more of a like, yeah, you know, intertextual experience.
Oh yeah, because like, you didn't have a lot of like direct to DVD Jean-Claude Van Damme movies when you were growing up that you'd see on the shelf.
Surprisingly, no. But I mean, I've seen a few, but it's not enough. Where it's if this was, well, I was gonna say Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you know, someone who's really someone you've seen a lot, that's gonna change how you view it. And also, if you've seen those things, the movie with him playing himself and the other thing, like it's gonna affect how you see it. And for me, I hadn't seen any of that, so that's definitely gonna make me more positive on it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, these are, I know, just nitpicks, and it's not even really worth judging, but a lot of, because it's only a 30-minute show, it's a pilot, but like, you know, he randomly sees the girl the installation. He brings his script with him on his mission. He just starts taking his disguise off before he's in safety. I know that stuff doesn't really matter, but I get worried when you start to lean on stuff like that too much just for, I guess, plot convenience. I know it doesn't matter. It doesn't make me like the show any less, but I do start to raise my eyebrows a bit when you kind of take shortcuts just because you want a thing to happen in the plot.
For sure.
Whatever.
Absolutely. I guess it's easier to forgive that because the world is so absurd.
True.
Where there's a moment when they're all going to run, at him and fight him. And the guy, one of them is like, no, wait, one at a time. So otherwise we could run into each other. It'll be confusing.
Yeah.
And that's funny because of the stuff that was happening earlier, but they're doing that because it's funny. Like it doesn't make sense.
Sure.
And the world in general doesn't make sense. Like the guy, like the side character guy who's like the hairstylist or something.
Yeah.
Or no, she's the hairstylist. But yeah, he's a guy working on the movies, and then he was also a child soldier before that, and he has his dark past that they don't show.
That was just a great moment where it's like, so what's your story? And then it like cuts really fast to these like terrible things. He's like, nah, another time or something like.
I'll tell you later. It's not very interesting. I'll tell you later. After she moaned about, oh, Jean-Claude never came to when we were, and he has this, child warrior background, soldier. Should say. But yeah, so overall, I think the thing is the tone really nailed it, and I could tell that immediately because the tone was all over the place in The Tick and in I Love Dick. It didn't work for me. I didn't like the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was set immediately. I mean, I Love Dick was definitely more secure about what they were doing in that show than The Tick.
Yeah.
Like it felt like more confident. But this one was confident, and it was also something I liked. And it's, you have to compare it to The Tick because they're both kind of an edgy superhero comedy.
Sure.
Kind of.
Yep.
But The Tick is kind of not doing it right and almost hovering on being bland, regular superhero stuff. And this, on the other hand, goes all the way into this absurd world. Like it goes all the way into that style and relies on it. It's kind of like the difference between Kick-Ass and Super, where, you know, Kick-Ass tries to subvert superhero stuff, but then in the end, it's really just a superhero
movie. It becomes itself, yeah.
Yeah. And Super, on the other hand, goes the whole way and deconstructs it and so on. And I like both those movies, but this is the Super version, I feel like, where it is, on the other hand, it doesn't really like subvert anything, but it does kind of make fun of itself and these genres in a more efficient way for me. And it was, I just really liked it. I guess that's what it boils down to. I like this one better than the other
ones. Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely like this better than the other ones as well. And yeah, like the things like when he meets his agent and then, you know, she puts the blinds down and then they start talking about the real work. And I was so hoping for the reveal of who Brown is going to be, but I assume they're probably have some things up in the air and maybe go for broke, depending on if it goes to series or not. But I'm excited at that type of stuff to see what they would do, you know, further with this. Because you're right, it does seem it's a cool concept and a cool idea, but the challenge to make it a series and really build on that, I'd be interested in to see what they do.
Yeah, I think they might. No, what was I going to say? I thought it was going to be N-word Jim. It was brown.
Oh yeah,
but.
The N-word thing is kind of funny too, because like that's what you would do now. You'd be like, okay, well, he's N-word Jim. But no, it's got to be like, you know, Seagal or if they go more modern, or if it's like Jason Statham or something, like it's got to be a pretty kick-ass cameo, I'd imagine. I'd be let down if it wasn't.
I didn't even think of that, but of course, like every agent in this agency has to be like they have an opportunity to do something like Gervais's extras and take in, you know, actors, maybe like actors past their prime that aren't going to cost them that much, but who are like game to make fun of themselves.
Yeah.
And that could be, I mean, that could be like the backbone of the show if they can pull that off.
Cause I like the dumb little thing of how they give these famous stars just these average last names as their code names. Cause they definitely hinted that like he knew who Brown was, and then they hinted at like, well, Brown's after you. And he's like, what? I'm calling about something else. So I'm anticipating some nice cameos like that. Cause in a way it's almost, whether it be like extras or even something like Entourage, where when you're playing on all like the Hollywood douchiness, you get to have people come in and make fun of themselves.
Yes. You're more familiar with the director on Jean-Claude Van Johnson, I think, right?
Because what did he direct? He directed like Keanu, right?
Yes, and Key and Peele, and those are both, is that what they're called, Key and Peele?
Yeah, Key and Peele.
Those are both things that I've heard a lot of good stuff about, but I haven't seen. I mean, I saw the trailer to Keanu, so I feel like I get it. I haven't been exposed to. I mean, there's all these areas of like, are you familiar with these people's works and these people's works? And I haven't haven't gone into those people's work. So I'm not familiar with that type of thing. So to me, this is, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's the same as their other stuff, but for me, this felt so fresh.
And it's in line with that. It's some of the comedy I like the most is when you're able to juggle the different genres and have something like I mean, Edgar Wright is a great example, obviously, because you know he can make a horror movie, he can make an action movie that's comedic, but like it's not like the comedy suffers and it still feels like a real movie, and there's hints at it with this. And Keanu, I think Keanu's a comedy movie, but it feels more like a real movie instead of most comedic directors where it's like, all right, just put the camera there and go be funny. We don't need to think a lot about the filmmaking or whatever. So it's nice to have it be well-rounded.
Yeah, the script's 20 pages. We'll just make up the rest. Hey, we're all improvs, artists. Improv the thing. Yeah, absolutely. So if we were cigar-chewing, whiskey-sipping, secretary ass-pinching executives...
Which we are.
Yeah, I mean, deep down, of course. So what would you say then to these three shows? Which one, if any, would you green light?
You got to green light Jean-Claude Van Johnson. It's a no-brainer. And if you don't listen to me, you'll never work in this town again.
Yeah, exactly. Same to you, my friend. Look, the thing is about I think Amazon with Amazon pilots, they also discovered like Transparent, which I haven't watched, but it's about, you know,
Twilight years,
who decides that he's a woman. You know, so he's a woman, she's a woman, and they and that's like won a bunch of awards and stuff. And I feel like I Love Dick is, well, I haven't seen Transparent, but it's in the vein of like we want to win awards.
Yeah, it would almost be in competition. It's kind of covering the same ground, basically.
Yes, and that's fine, but they don't have as good of a hook with I Love Dick, and that's why I wouldn't green light it if I was an exec, because I would look at it and go like, yeah, that's all well and good, but this show isn't, it doesn't pull enough. Yeah, it's based on something. It's based on something no one's ever heard of. Come on, what is this? Yeah. No one's ever heard of it, I would say in my executive voice. And if they had more of a sexy hook, like, it's a bit sexy, like, oh, you know, maybe the middle-aged people will watch it, but do they even know that Amazon is a thing you can watch shows on?
Nope.
Middle-aged people?
No, they don't.
So it's like Jean-Claude Van Johnson all the way. Although I would, maybe I would greenlight The Tick just because, you know, well, superheroes. Everyone loves superheroes these days, I've heard.
Yeah, as an executive, you'd be like, eh, I don't really like it, but superheroes, give it the old green light.
Yeah. Okay. I'm honestly not, wasn't blown away by any of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. None of them. I mean, it's hard to do, though, with any pilot. I mean, there are a few pilots that, like, from the first episode, I or shows, I should say, from the first episode that I was like, oh, what, yeah, what a great first episode. Shield's one of them. So, but I guess potential, I still think, even though Jean-Claude Van Johnson's the best pilot of the three, and it shows the most potential, at least, I mean, for one season. Although I guess, yeah, I don't think any of these really, I mean, The Tick might lend itself the most to multiple seasons, because even, yeah, I Love Dick, it's still, there still feels to be like a, that could be a movie, you know what I mean? I guess they hint at some of the side characters, because there's the girl that lives in the trailer or whatever, and maybe they'll start to grow out this Marfa, Texas, and all the wacky characters you run into.
Yeah.
But yeah, both I Love Dick and Jean-Claude Van Johnson could easily just be an hour and a half and you'd get almost everything you could get out of it, and there you go. I mean, same for The Tick, but being that it's like a comic, it does lend itself to more of an ongoing storyline, new villains, new characters, yeah, etc.
It's like with I Love Dick, I kind of wanted to disagree and say that it shows a lot of potential, but talking about, like, yeah, what, two seasons maybe, then it's like, come on, season three of I Love Dick, what's gonna happen? Yeah. Same with,
is she still in this town as she decided not to leave yet?
Still can't get to Venice. Yeah. But then she gets accepted and it's like, no, I'm gonna stay with you, both of you, or whatever.
I mean, I guess there's always human drama you can mine. It does set to be the most for that, just as far, you don't need to be at a specific location or whatever. It's just, you know, human relationships and how we interact and grow as people. But okay, who wants to watch, great, that?
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. So that's it for Amazon's pilot season, right? That's it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Did they do that like twice a year now? Is that right?
I think so. I think I was reading I think they did one, yeah, less than a year ago, but it was more drama. It was more drama shows. And okay, then this is their kind of comedic output.
Cool. We may do this when, you know, the real shows start happening.
Yeah.
We may like peek at a few pilots and see we're going to be co-pilots again, and we're going to decide which ones do we want to keep watching. But in that case, we can just decide to keep watching it and keep discussing it if there's one that pops out at us. We don't have to wait 2 years to see if it actually happens or not.
Yeah,
as we do with this.
That'll be fun to do. Yeah, once the new fall TV season rolls around, if there's a couple shows we want to pick and watch, yeah, the first episode and see what we want to stick with.
So that's it for this episode of Shows What You Know. Go to showswhatyouknow.com for all your Shows What You Know needs. You can also email opinions to us at showswhatyouknowshow@gmail.com. What would your list be?
Yes. What do you pick?
Uh-huh. What would you green light? Yeah. Remember to write in your silliest executive voice in the email. Use stars to put in, like, drinks, whiskey, slaps, ass. I don't know. Does cocaine, whatever they do. And you can also leave us a review on iTunes or similar.
And what are we watching next? We're watching Mr. Robot Season 2?
That's right. We're going to try to see the first 5 of the new season, Season 2 of Mr. Robot. We're a bit behind, but we're catching up, and we want you to come with us, please, because I don't want to do this alone. Please come with us.
Come with us on this journey.
Yes. That's it. See you next time.
See ya.